today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, if you're a frequent Hyatt Hotel guest, well, you got a special offer from Hyatt last week, or did you? Details next.
Hotels are following the airlines in the goose guests with extra fees department. But we found a hotel in New York that got rid of resort fees. So how is that working out for them? That story at 3:15.
3:35, Mark will unveil another of his lists, this time the top 10 ways hotels annoy their guests. Find out if your pet peeve is on that list.
At 3:45, we introduce you to the Hope Flight Foundation. It's one man's dream to help sick kids get to the doctors they need, and it's working.
Finally, in the entertainment segment at 3:50, we remind you to get yourself down to Old Sacramento tomorrow for some old-fashioned Labor Day fun.
Good grief, Tom. The headlines are longer than the show. You found the most entertaining hour of radio on the dial. You're listening to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Guys. It's the Labor Day weekend show. It's a fabulous Sunday. Hope you're all doing well. This show is brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations and the president, CEO, and owner of Sports Leisure Vacations. To my left, Mark Hoffman. I'm Tom Romano, and welcome, everyone, to the show. Mark, how you doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, sir. We're burning the midnight oil at Sports Leisure Vacations this week, finishing our annual catalog in preparation for unveiling it next Saturday at the DoubleTree Hotel right here behind the studios, where about 700 Sports Leisure travelers will come out and we'll have a big party. You will be there. The Travel Guys will be doing a segment that we will run on our program on Sunday. So we are going to have one heck of a big party on Saturday and unveil this beautiful catalog, which I just got a sneak preview of a little while ago, and it looks pretty cool. We got some pretty neat places to go next year.
You know, Mark, I remember back in the 80s when you and I did commercials for your very first catalog, and we did some pretty clever stuff where you would always catch me cutting up and redesigning the catalog, which I was not really supposed to be doing. Tell me, from the Sports Leisure Vacations perspective and in all the years that you've been doing it, what has really changed? How much of this process has changed? I know it has to have streamlined a lot.
Well,
but
people get more of their information on the internet now. So my travelers tend to be mature travelers, so they're not completely dialed into the internet, but 90% of them are. So that's one way people get information has changed. What people want when they travel, particularly when they travel with a group, has changed. They want more freedom and more choices and more opportunities to do what they want to do on their own. But by and large, it's still a service-oriented industry, and I've still found that if you provide people with the best service, why, you can keep them coming back.
Now, tell me, how many people attended one of your very first tour catalog events compared to what you expect next Saturday?
Tour preview day was held at Greer Elementary School, which is over there by Encina High School. That was 35, 36 years ago, and there were about 150 people there that day. So we will entertain about 700 at the DoubleTree. We've had as many as 1,000, but that got just the event got completely out of control, so we're pretty comfortable in our skin with that number. It's a lot of folks, and there will be a lot of hugs and a lot of smiles and a lot of traveling companions seeing folks they haven't seen for a while, and it will be a good day. If you haven't already, if you're a mature traveler and you think that you might enjoy, go to our website at sportsleisure.com, and if you see things that you like, you can give us a call at our office, 361-TOUR, and we would be happy to set you up with a reservation for preview day. There are about 50 slots left. And you can come out next Saturday and see what it is that we do.
We are the Travel Guys, and if this is the first time you've run across us on the radio, we're here every Sunday at 3 o'clock, and we always start our show off with Mark Hoffman and the Travel News. So with that, let's fire up the band.
There we go.
All right, Mark, what you got on our Travel News?
Yes, sir. Sorry to be a little self-promotional there, folks, but, you know, it's a big event for our company next week, so thank you for being tolerant of that. In the travel news this week, Hyatt's fall promotion is nice, but it's not for everybody. Now the hotels and airlines are targeting some of their frequent guests, and not everybody gets the same offer anymore. So, in fact, this time around, some Hyatt credit card holders and some Hyatt frequent guests got a fall promotion that will earn them up to 20,000 additional points, but some people didn't get a promotion at all. How about that, Tom?
Amazing. Why? What happened?
Well, it's just algorithms with the computers now, and they're just figuring out where they think that they can entice you to spend more money and get more business. And if they don't think you're a person who will spend more money and get more business, then you probably didn't get this offer. It's just the way it is. Folks now get with Marriott. I frequently will get an offer that's different from the offer the guy got down the street. Just a little tip to people. If you don't get an offer and you find out about one for your favorite credit card or your favorite frequent guest or frequent flyer program, contact the vendor directly and tell them that this is the offer that your neighbor got and you would like to have that offer. More often than not, they will make it available to you, or at least explain to you why you can. Last week, I'm sure you heard about this, the airplane that had to make a landing because of the knee defender.
Yes, I did. I was I spotted that on TV. I found, first of all, you know, I think you might have talked about the knee defender. You know, I can't believe that people would actually use those.
Well, they do. It's two little gadgets that you put on the in the seat. In this case, it was a male passenger. He was in the middle seat of the 12th row of the airplane, and he used the knee defender. You hook it onto the tray table, and what it does is it blocks the seat from coming back. They're just very tiny little things, but by placing them in just the right spot, we've got this on our website. If you want to see, you can see a picture of it. If you like, go to travelguysradio.com, and you can see what this knee defender thing is. But it basically, this lady tried to put, she was wanted to recline her seat. He was on his laptop. He was in the middle seat. He put the knee defender things in. She couldn't recline her seat. She got the flight attendant. The flight attendant asked him to take the device off of the seat. He refused. The woman then stood up, turned around, and threw a cup of water at him. That's when the airline decided that it would be better to touch down in Chicago and let the two of them off. They were met by TSA when they landed in Chicago. No word yet as to whether there have been any charges or prosecution or something. I'm guessing those two people felt really stupid the next day.
Wow. Well, you know, here again, the old knee defender, not real popular item. I mean, stop and think about it. It would be one thing if you asked the person just to not lean back as far, whatever, but I don't know, but to physically obstruct somebody's ability to lean their seat back, which they're entitled to simply because you brought on some sort of a mechanical device to block it, is just, I think, seriously inappropriate.
Yeah, I think that kind of lines up with the opinions around our offices this week when I asked my staff and asked a few of my travelers and stuff. And I think the general consensus is that you don't use something like that. You ask the person politely, you explain to them, you know, you're trying to get some work done or something. Would they split the difference with you? And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's their privilege to put the seat back. Of course, Spirit and Allegiant Airlines have fixed that. Their seats no longer recline at all. So perhaps that's the direction. Pretty soon, when we're all standing up on airplanes, all of this won't be an issue any longer. All right, we told you a couple months ago that a well-known international tour company, Talk Tours from Connecticut, was telling online promoters of travel that they can no longer use Talk's name in association with discounting, that Talk had a premier product and they were no longer going to allow that. Now Talk has issued an even stronger warning to online travel agencies, also known as OTAs, and said basically, if we find that you have our name in anything, any search engine, it shows up with our name that has anything to do with discounting or anything like that. What happens, Tom, is these other websites use this company's name to draw people in.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get there, you can eventually find their tour. But, of course, the website is going to try to sell you something else first. So Talk has a great name and a great product, and they're basically saying, look, if it's not our product and you're not selling our product directly, and good for them. I mean, it's about time that somebody stepped up and told people that you know, this is our name, and you're not going to trash it. We're not selling a discounted product, so move along. All right, speaking of fun things to do when you're on tour, you can go to Tokyo and ride a gourmet sightseeing train. They run on local lines across the nation, and they are becoming a really hot trend. They allow passengers to go sightseeing while dining on authentic dishes using locally produced ingredients. Sounds like kind of a farm-to-fork thing. They began in July, and they are tremendously popular with Japanese, both tourists and with local people. Reservations are now sold out more than 2 months in advance, and they're expanding the gourmet sightseeing trains to multiple lines throughout Japan. So if you're headed for Japan anytime soon and you're a train person and you love to sample local cuisine, Google gourmet sightseeing trains, and perhaps when you get over to Japan, you'll have a really unique experience on a local train. All right. Finally, Tom, we mentioned that hotels are getting as fee happy as airlines in charging folks extra money for just about everything that you can think of. You've got to be incredibly diligent when you're booking a hotel. You've got to read the fine print when you check in. You've got to read the fine print so that if somebody hits you with something at the end of the day that they didn't tell you about, that you can get out of it, or you can at least put up a stink for it. And don't be afraid to do that, because hotels are sensitive to this stuff. And the more people complain, the better chance there is that you can get it either taken off of your bill or perhaps get the policy reversed for future guests. And Tom, coming up after the break, we have found a hotelier in New York State, a resort that has knocked out their resort fees. Can you believe it?
Well, it's about time. But before we get to that story, Mark, I think you have something for your travelers.
Oh, one quick little item here we need to take care of. Our lucky sports leisure traveler for the week is Nina Hasna. Nina Hasna, if you're listening to the radio, call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday, and the $50 gift card you have just won will be doubled to $100. Or if you know Nina, why give her a call? Her husband, Joe, and Nina travel with us frequently on day trips. So, Nina, congratulations on being the lucky Sports Leisure traveler this week. We're heading off to break. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the resort that got rid of all the extra fees. Is it turning out to be a good idea? You'll find out right after the break. We're the Travel Guys on KFBK.
You found the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman. And Mark, it's great to hear that once in a while, people listen and respond to their travelers.
Yeah, we have what I consider a really good story today. Oftentimes we come on the air here and we talk about people who are not treating travelers as well as they could, or things that travelers are unhappy about. And one of those things that folks have been most unhappy about in recent years are hotel fees, extra fees added by hotels, specifically resort fees, sometimes added by hotels that, you marginally would only fit into the resort category or not at all. But we have found a new trend. And the new trend is listen to your customers and listen to how much they're complaining, and take a chance on the fact that maybe without a resort fee, life might be better. And so we have with us as a guest here on the Travel Guys, Chris Polito. Chris is the general manager at the Whiteface Lodge, which is an all-suite luxury property in upstate New York at Lake Placid. And about 3 years ago, he started looking for ways to improve his guest experience. Chris, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you very much, Mark and Tom.
Well, you're almost a renaissance man here by all intents and purposes.
Well, you know, I honestly can say that one of the things that was started here 3 years ago and that we have continued to forge forward with in the past couple years that I was here at the Whiteface Lodge is, first and foremost, listening to our guests. Number two, continuing to deliver luxury, and live it, of course. But most importantly, do so in a way that is transparent and is also positioning our guests in a situation where they can get the best possible value when they book their room and a relaxing experience when they arrive without the stress of hidden fees.
Chris, why don't you start off by telling folks what changes that you've made at your lodge, at the Whiteface Lodge there in New York?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it really started with the concept of the resort fee, which is the hot spot in our industry, I think. And it was a decision made by our company that we wanted to really go ahead and take that resort fee, along with all other associated fees that our luxury travelers are used to paying, and make them go away. And it's a scary thing as a hotelier, because when you do that, you either have to take on the expense on your own, or you have to go ahead and pass it along to the customer within your room rate. So we basically decided that all those extras that we do and that we wanted to continue to add, which we have, which include free internet access, free valet parking 24 hours a day, breakfast included with every booking through the resort, ice skating, bowling, movie theaters with free popcorn showing three movies a day, all on site, no extra fees. And when doing all this, what we did is we took a look at what was the absolute minimum that it cost us to run all of those things while not cutting them back, gave a slight boost to our room rate when we first started doing it, but then made all of the on-site fees and the resort fee disappear in our guests' eyes. And since then, we've been able to maintain that very small built-in portion of our room rate and continue to deliver an unsurpassed value.
Okay, Chris, let me ask you, what was the resort fee back when you were charging it?
Sure. Our one-bedroom fee was $45.
What's an average rate for that room? Is that a $250, $300 room?
Really, depending on time of year, but I would say the average throughout the year for that room is probably $375.
Okay, okay. So that was a pretty sizable increase. And so the thing that hits us is, as a guest, I walk up to the front desk, and even if I know that there's a resort fee, I mean, they've disclosed it and I know about it, it still doesn't make me happy. When I get to the desk and the person is courteous and they remind me that there's a $25 or in your case a $45 resort fee, I would be like, you know, it would just make my blood boil. At that moment in time, no matter how accepting I was of the concept or the fact that I was going to have to pay it and I was stuck with it, it absolutely would fry me at that moment. So I'm guessing that what you've done is you've unfried an awful lot of guests.
Well, you know, we really have. And the biggest thing is most guests are still, when they arrive at a resort and they're aware of the resort fee, as you were suggesting, and that isn't always the case, but if they are aware of it, they usually assume the resort fee will cover just about everything. But the reality is it really doesn't. When there's a resort fee, there's usually also a daily high-speed internet fee, a valet parking fee, a fee if you want to do any activities above and beyond, like using a canoe or a bike at the property. You would pay a rental fee on top of that. So it's not only the resort fee itself, but from our eyes, it was everything associated with it, because when you're already boiling because there's the resort fee, and then you're told that you have to pay to use the spa separately, or you have to pay to do s'mores at night and buy a little s'mores box around the campfire, now that's something that really will cost you money in the long run. And the resort fee is a short-sighted fix as far as I'm concerned, because when it goes away and you make all of these things part of the experience, the customer loyalty, the brand loyalty, and then the referrals that happen from the guests who come and are blown away far surpasses the revenue gained from the resort fees you're collecting, and then the guest satisfaction you're detracting from with everyone who leaves not feeling good about it.
Chris, others in your industry have to have heard about this. What is their response? What are you hearing?
Great question.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, one of the things that I still hear is, and this is a reality because it's a business, is some people say, we're getting it, and so we're going to keep charging it. And that's one way to look at it. But the reality is, for me, the real success in a resort is a combination of fiscal success and guest satisfaction. And when you look at the two combined, I don't think someone could argue successfully that they're getting the resort fee and also getting the guest satisfaction that goes with the resort fee, or maybe they are getting it and they don't like it.
Chris, without getting too far into the weeds on this, you have figured out a way, it sounds like, to offset the lost revenue from the resort fee by adjusting your room rates upwards in a smaller way and spreading the cost over everyone and running your resort efficiently. So you have, in essence, been able to bundle this together in a way that it sounds like has saved the guest a few dollars. And maybe in the whole process, created a little bit better guest experience just because you've tightened up your operation a little bit.
Without question. And, you know, all of the little unexpected things that even the guests are still ready to take their wallet out for when they're told they don't have to, it just really creates a goodwill and a true sense of – loyalty towards this property, and it's paid off. Our occupancy since we've done this has gone up significantly. Our rates, we have not had to increase as significantly because, quite honestly, the volume far surpasses the benefit of just charging people through the roof but not seeing more travelers choosing your property, especially in a crowded market like Lake Placid, New York, where it's well known around the world for hosting the Olympics twice.
And there you have it, folks, to all of our listeners. It's the Whiteface Lodge. It's a long ways away in Lake Placid, New York, but here we have found a property that is treating its guests like adults and not tacking on not only a resort fee but nickeling and diming people along the way. Chris, it's just really refreshing to talk to you. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes of your time to share your story with us. I wish you all the success in the world, my friend. Every time you go someplace, I hope you tell your peers how well this is working for you.
Well, I certainly will. And gentlemen, thank you very much. It's a great show, and I was really honored to be a part of it today.
And you'll find a link to Chris's lodge, the Whiteface Lodge, and this story, and others that may be tagging along with such a great idea as getting rid of the resort fees at travelguysradio.com. All righty, Mark, there's one. We'll have to see if we can find some more.
Absolutely.
We are the Travel Guys. More to come here on News Radio KFBK.
If you ever plan to motor west,
you are in touch with the Travel Guys on KFBK every Sunday at 3, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman, the guy who collects lists, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Mark is a big list guy, and he always runs across some very entertaining, fun, and, well, very informative lists. Mark, you have another list in your... clutched in your hand.
Well, you know, they send these things out, Tom, and they suck you in by saying, well, you know, they want you to look at all the slideshow,
right,
or something. Well, the smarter travel people are really nice on their website because they have a little thing that says see as one page.
Okay.
And so you can see all of them at once, which is one of the reasons I mention it, because that's one of the reasons I get more lists, because I don't have to click through 10 different pages to be able to see them all. This is annoying things about hotels and how to deal with them. 10 annoying things.
I bet you everybody has their list of 10 annoying things.
I thought that I would run this by you because I'm kind of the travel veteran, and mm-hmm, you're kind of the amateur traveler, and you're the semi-pro, if you will. And so I thought, you know, we could see how our lists matched up together. Now, these are 10 things that are on, and these are not in any particular order, so maybe we'll decide whose is which one. The first one on their list here is poorly placed electrical outlets, or I might add, no outlets at all.
Oh my gosh, that is one of my biggest pet peeves. The older the, in fact, you can pretty much date a hotel room by how many plugs there are not available.
Exactly. And you're on the road with somebody who also has their own gadgets. If each of you have an iPad and a phone at the end of the day, and now you get to the hotel room and it's a battle over, you know, you've got them in the bathroom, and you practically have to bring your own power strip now. And you're right, the older the hotel, the least likely that it has any sort of updated power outlets or something. So bringing a small multiple outlet gadget with you on the road is really not a bad idea at all.
Sometimes I'll find hotels that are so old, they have one plug placed directly behind the middle of the bed,
yes,
and the bed does not move.
Or here's the classic one. The plug is available to you, and it's got two outlets. One is for the lamp, and one is for the alarm clock.
Right. There you go.
You can't use either one. All right, let's see what else. Annoying things about hotels: flimsy curtains.
Window curtains.
Yeah, that don't keep out the light, you know, of the day. I have a friend that occasionally I'm sometimes traveling with, and he's like, he's got to have the curtains completely drawn. There can't be any light coming in in the morning. So
right.
Flimsy hotel curtains that don't keep the light out. Loud hallways. This would be one of mine, definitely. You know, you go to a hotel, and when someone in the hallway closes a door five doors away from yours, kaboom.
Yep.
And early in the morning, it's the one day you wanted to sleep in until 8 o'clock, and sure enough, at 6 o'clock in the morning, your next door neighbor is going to decide to leave. So noisy hallways that don't have good acoustics, maids that get into hallways between 8 and 10 o'clock in the morning and decide that probably nobody's sleeping anyway, so they can just have a conversation.
Sometimes you'll be in a hotel where there's a wedding going on, or there's some sort of a function, a reunion, and these people are up till 2 or 3 in the morning, and they return to their room. loud, boisterous, and usually drunk. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a door that's somewhat soundproof, forget about it.
Exactly. Yes. Or sometimes you got, I was up in a Doubletree in Portland a couple weeks ago where there was a couple of inches under the door. I don't know if it's because the ground had settled or whatever, but you know, you have to go and stuff a towel under the door at night in order to keep the sound out.
Okay.
Expensive or slow Wi-Fi? Probably now the number one pet peeve, I would say, of people. Why do hotels nickel and dime people? Why don't they just add $2 or $3 to the room rate for everybody and just make Wi-Fi free throughout the property?
When you and I open our hotel chain, that will be near the top of the list.
Pet peeves, annoying things about hotels, no refrigerator or microwave. What do they think? We're going to burn down the building? Are they that protective of their overpriced bad food in the lobby restaurant that they have to try? The only way they can trap us is by not allowing us to bring something edible back from a nearby restaurant and reheat it or have it for breakfast in the morning to get us away from that breakfast buffet that's awful.
You know, there's an upscale hotel in Lake Tahoe.
Uh-huh.
Does not have any fridge or microwave in any of the rooms. However, they do have a great big giant tub with water jet thingies right next to your bed. So you can have your sauna thing in your room, but you have no place to chill your champagne.
A big giant water jet thingy?
Well, you know, a hot tub. Did I say water jet thingy?
What scares me is that I knew exactly what you were talking about. That's what scares me.
Okay.
Anyway, that's just one of my peeves. And especially with like Hampton Inns. Some Hampton Inns have refrigerators and microwaves and some don't. So inevitably you get to a town and you're saying, well, I'm staying in a Hampton Inn. You stop at the grocery store, you pick up dinner, you go to the room and you find out that you're in one of the Hampton Inns that doesn't have.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Consistency among brands. Let's see. 10 annoying things about hotels and how to deal with them. Next one on the list, snacks and beverages displayed but are not free. And there's no price on them. So you see that little thing with the snacks, the candy bars, and the nut packages, and the bottles of water and stuff.
And if you move one.
And if you even move one.
You own it.
You're going to own it. But even if you wanted to know how much overpriced it was.
There, if you look around the room, you will usually find somewhere in a drawer or on something will have the list and the prices. But they won't be where the items are. They'll be someplace you would least expect.
And some of us now use these assistive devices known as reading glasses because we're getting up a little bit in age. And so it would be nice if they printed it in large enough type so that I could see how much it costs without going looking for my reading glasses. Intrusive staff. This is on the list. Yeah. Housekeeping. Which is okay, except that when I have put the thing on the door that says do not disturb and it's 8:30 in the morning, and they're still knocking,
no.
And I'm wondering what part of English, or they're knocking on the door next door, and it's housekeeping, and if you're four blocks away, you know that the housekeeper's trying to get into 217, so that would make definitely my list. Awkward light switches.
What does that mean?
I'm not exactly, let's see what they say about on their list, but to me, awkward light switches means they've got these fancy lamps and stuff, and you can't figure out where the damn light switch is.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that has anything to do with being young, old, or in between. I think it has to do with the lamps that are just not done properly. Or here's a kick, in some of these new modern hotels, like a Loft and some of these, you know, some of them you have to put your key in by the door in order for the lights to work. And so therefore, when you take your key out to leave, the lights all go off. It's kind of a power saving sort of thing. But if you don't know all of that stuff and you can't figure out why you can't get the light, then that could be a little bit of a problem. All right, let's see. What's the next thing on our list here? Ancient bedspreads and blankets. This is probably the biggest complaint among women who travel.
Yes, something that looks like that was handed down from grandparent to grandparent and then left behind on your bed in your room.
Why would any hotel at this point use a top bed covering that was any other color than pure white? Because there's so much emphasis on cleanliness and stuff. If you go into the hotel and you see a bedspread or a bed cover, and some of them now, Marriott uses these little tiny, like 1/6, just to give it a little color across the coverlet sort of thing.
Just an accent,
and the rest of it is all white. So you can see clearly that the bed is clean. If it's one of those flowered bedspreads that the older properties use. I almost said a chain there, name there. But then you go in and you see that, and immediately the first thing I do is rip it off the bed. Of course, the problem is
– especially the ones with cigarette hole burns.
Yeah, or other substances that maybe are on there that you can't tell what they are. And so – but then if you've only got a blanket and a sheet left, why, and it gets cold, why, then you're kind of in trouble. So to hotel folks who are listening, get rid of the colored stuff. Clean and white is what's in these days. And finally, the last one on the list here, this is kind of an interesting one. You may only run into this in fancy, nice, new, modern hotels. You think they're being cute. Glass bathroom walls. So you go in and they've got this great big bathroom wall, and it looks out to the rest of the room, but it's clouded. It's hazy, so you can't actually see through it. You just see someone moving behind it.
Right.
And some of them now will use those
called
doors.
Frosted glass.
They will use the doors that you pull shut, but they don't lock. They just close, and they don't lock. Or maybe the lock is something you've got to really try to figure out, and it's kind of flimsy and stuff. And I'm just thinking, you know, I mean, if you're in a hotel room, you're sharing a hotel room with somebody that lots of times people share rooms with people they don't know that well. You're traveling with someone to a convention, or you share a room with someone. And I'm just thinking, you know, you go to the bathroom, I just kind of like – I'm in there doing my business. I kind of want a door that locks. Whether I lock it or not, I would like to have – I mean, am I weird?
No, you should have that option. It should be just like at home.
Yeah, exactly. You see, that's it. It would be just like at home.
That's what a lot of hotels have for years, for decades, have tried to preach, that when you stay with us, it's like staying at home.
At home.
So, you know, there doesn't have to be a lot of heavy thinking going into trying to make it seem like
there
home.
There doesn't have to be.
And you might try with a locking door would be a good place to
start. So those are some annoying things that we – a list of annoying things that we made that annoy us about hotels. You could go to travelguysradio.com and leave us a note about what annoys you about hotels. And if we read your little annoyance from hotels on the radio next week, why, there might be a prize in it for you. Who knows? Travelguysradio.com is where you can leave that. Annoying things.
He even said it in his best annoying voice.
Things about hotels. Maybe that desk clerk that can't tell you where the fitness center is without a 5-minute dissertation.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Go off and find us another list, and we will bring it to you right here. We are the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK. More to come. Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel Guys on KFBK. To my left, Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. And Mark, you brought us a special guest for today's show. Tell me something about this guy and introduce him, please.
All right. Well, and travel, when we talk about travel, usually the images that are in people's minds are of going off to faraway lands and discovering things and eating exotic foods and stuff like that. But as we've pointed out on this program from time to time, travel can sometimes be just going to some place across town to enjoy a local festival or discover a piece of culture in your own community. Travel can also take on some other faces. Travel can be something that becomes a lifeline for many people. And our guest here with us today, Douglas Harding, is the founder and the chief pilot of a group called Hope Flight Foundation. And Douglas, I'm going to let you explain what it is that you do, but basically you're helping seriously ill children and their families. You're helping their lives be a little bit easier.
Yes, that's right. So basically it's children's travel, children's serious illnesses from cancer and other life-threatening illnesses. It's all free of charge to the family. It's in California mostly, and I also fly into Oregon and Nevada. But we bring them into the Bay Area children's hospitals for the treatments, and sometimes the LA Basin.
Douglas, is this what you do for a living? I mean, how does someone get into doing something like this? Is it a hobby, a sideline?
It is pretty much my full-time work. I do occasionally a little bit of business flying, but mostly developing Hope Flight and flying the kids and doing the grant writing and doing the networking to keep the foundation going. It's kind of my main thing in life right now.
Douglas, the kind of a thing that you do had to have been inspired perhaps by a personal experience. What was it that drove you to begin doing what you do here with Hope Flight?
Well, I've always cared about kids, and I enjoy the flying, and I found that putting those two together, I can help families and children with all the aviation knowledge and experience I gained over the years. I decided to go into kind of ministry to help.
Was there a specific instance, kids, Douglas, that or a specific situation that occurred that got you started in this?
Well, I've always cared about kids, even when I was a kid. They had, kids on TV that needed help. And, of course, my mom passed away from pancreatic cancer. And, I just see, and we all know that the battle and have all the stress that goes along with fighting cancer and getting better. So just a way to help the families cover those hundreds of miles, having to drive and spend that money, and just all the other stresses that go with that battle.
You know, Douglas, this is something that, is kind of expensive for you to do this. How is it that you're able to fund a project like this? Do you have, is this a nonprofit? Can people, donate to help out?
Yes. Yeah, it's a nonprofit and 501c3. And we do grant writing, but you don't get too many grants. There's a lot of competition for them. So occasionally we'll get a grant for the fuel. That's our biggest expense, is the fuel. One of our supporters donates his airplane, and we're working on getting our own bigger plane that we can cover more states and have a stretcher in there for the kids and that sort of thing. And individuals donate and businesses donate also, but we're all volunteers still, so there's just a little expense for office and phone and website and office supplies, but other than that, it's the fuel that's the big expense.
That is, Douglas, I just have to tell you, I really congratulate you. I'm sure I'm not the first person to do that, but it's wonderful to talk to someone who has something that truly is grassroots. I mean, right. you're making this happen by scrounging around, it sounds like, for grants and different sources of funds. And the article I have here, which is a year old, says that you've already done over 50 flights for over 24 families. I'm guessing that number has grown in the past, since this article has been written.
Yeah, now we've done 75 flights.
Douglas, the quick question here, now that we've exposed what you do perhaps to people that have never heard of it before, somebody listening is saying, I know someone or our family could use your services. What's the process of being able to connect with you and to qualify to be to use your Hope Flight?
Okay. It's many people find us on a Google search on our website. HopeFlightFoundation.org. They can work with the hospital they're going to. There's usually a social worker there, and they call us directly to arrange the flight.
And so folks could go to your web. They could go to your website, HopeFlightFoundation.org, and we will put a link to that on Travel Guys Radio in case you know of somebody who might have a need for something like this. Douglas, it is really an amazing thing that you have started here. And also, I should point out, Tom, that Hope Flight Foundation is going to be one of the charity recipients each year for the Sports Leisure Vacations Tour Preview Day, which is taking place next Saturday at the DoubleTree Hotel, right out behind us in the parking lot here from KFBK. We collect an admission charge to our preview day, but we don't keep it. We turn around and give it to a series of local charities, and this year the Hope Flight Foundation has been designated as one of the charity recipients from our preview day. So we are proud to be able to, in a small way, to maybe help pay for one of those flights. Douglas, I wish you the best, my friend. You are doing very important and very much needed work.
Yes, thank you. I enjoy it, helping the kids.
Now remember, you can go to travelguysradio.com for a link to Doug's website, and we wish you the best, and thanks so much for being a guest with us here on The Travel Guys. We are The Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK.
Wow, Tom, a man on a mission. All right, let's shift gears here now quickly from Life Flight to a local event here. We are The Travel and Entertainment Guys, so we sometimes like to throw in something with a little local flair, and Tom has something here for us if you're not busy tomorrow. Tom, what do we got?
Well, Mark, as we mention often to our listeners, travel doesn't always have to be out of town. It can be just around the corner. And here in Sacramento, travel can be to a great destination for a lot of fun, can be as close as Old Town. On the line with me, our buddy Mike Testa from the Sacramento Visitors Bureau. Mike, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Big weekend in Old Town. I know that this is the time of the year as we wind down towards the end of summer where folks want to get out and do some fun stuff. And I know things are happening in Old Sacramento. Share with our audience what you got going on the rest of today and tomorrow in Old Town.
Yeah, it's been a really exciting weekend in Old Sacramento. We've had over 100 classic and vintage cars coming down, not only from car clubs, but from the California Auto Museum. We've had the California State Railroad Museum bring some of their trains out on the lawn. We've got vintage buses and taxis and emergency vehicles, some great live music. And tomorrow, on Monday, we've actually got Republic FC, the soccer team, coming out to do a kids clinic and a Q&A with the coaches. So a lot of fun going in Old Sacramento this weekend.
Now, I understand. This is pretty much all free. Is that correct?
It is. That's one of the things we're really excited about. This weekend is free. You may have to pay for parking, but if you come down, the bands are free. Obviously, to see the cars is free. There's a movie being shown tonight, Pale Rider, on the 1849 scene outdoors. That is free, starring Clint Eastwood. So, yeah, the idea was to get folks into Old Sacramento, give them a free family event, something fun to do over Labor Day weekend, and I think we've delivered on that.
Now, of course, normally at this time of the year, you usually have your Gold Rush days, but as a result of the drought, kind of fill people in as to why those that may have missed, why that's not happening this year.
Yeah, Gold Rush Days is an event that we've been doing for about 14 years. The challenge is we dump 200 tons of dirt on the street in Old Sacramento.
That's amazing.
To keep the dust down over the weekend, we use about 12,000 gallons of water. And then to clean up the event after the fact, it's over 100,000 gallons of water. Based on where we are in Northern California and California in general, we felt that was a really irresponsible use of water. And the challenge, when you remove the dirt, it's not the same event. You can't operate the horses the same way. You can't do the skits the same way. And there's enough brand equity in Gold Rush Days that to run it halfway wouldn't do it justice. So we're hoping it rains like crazy all winter, and Gold Rush Sales will be back in 2015.
How difficult was it to kind of change gears, if you will, and come up with this great Americana event that you have in Old Sac for the rest of the holidays?
You know, it's always tough to change gears when you're 3 or 4 weeks out. Thankfully, we had a lot of partners really pitching in on this thing. You know, from the Auto Museum to the Old Sacramento Business Association and the City of Sacramento, a lot of people picked up the slack and brought things to the table for part of the programming. So, you know, this is a great example for me of really community partnership. A lot of people made sure this thing happened with a very little time frame to do it in.
Well, with a day and a half left, folks are going to be coming down. Give them some advice on the best way to negotiate the event and the best places to park and any advice that you might have coming in.
Yeah, the two parking garages in Old Sacramento are always pretty convenient. There's one on I Street. There's one next to the Tower Bridge. There's also some parking by the Crocker Art Museum. They've actually got some activities going as well. There's street parking in and around Old Sacramento. The meters in Old Sacramento are not available, but there should be plenty of parking. We encourage people to walk in. And, you know, again, the best part about this event is once they get here, they get to see everything for free.
Now, just so people know, the construction and all of that that's going on for the new arena is not really impacting you there, is it?
No, it's really not. It's impacting one of the parking garages that used to be under Downtown Plaza, but there's a lot of other opportunities to park in a lot of other garages. So, no, I don't think people will see that impact, and certainly it's not part of Old Sacramento.
Thanks for taking some time, Mike. You guys have a fabulous rest of a Sunday, and we'll see you out there Monday. Mike Testa with the Sacramento Visitors Bureau, you have a swell weekend, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Tom, I guess that wraps up another really busy edition of the Travel Guys. Next weekend is Saturday is Sports Leisure Vacations Tour Preview Day at the DoubleTree Hotel. If you haven't already made your reservations, we can take 700, and we've got about 650, so we have room for just a few more people we can squeeze in if you'd like to go. We'll be doing a special live Travel Guys segment at the show, which we will tape and replay for you on Sunday. Also, next Sunday, we have a couple of fun things to do. One is a TSA quiz, and another is to find out if you're really a good, are you qualified to be a New York tourist. So we'll do all that next Sunday at 3 o'clock right here on the Travel Guys.
And be listening throughout the week for another Mark Hoffman and Travel Guys travel tip. And join us next Sunday at 3 o'clock, and we'll help make you a smarter traveler. You have a great rest of your Labor Day weekend. We'll see you next Sunday at 3. We are the Travel Guys. Bye-bye for now.